cars,
super late models,
thunder cars,
modifieds,
World of Outlaws,
archives,
it's all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, famed short tracks.
All the way to the high banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
here's your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, 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 good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. Here we go, 2 hours of racing talk. How about that for the night? So glad you could tune in here tonight on RacetimeRadio.com. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr. What?
Real racing talk.
Yes.
We're going to talk about real racing, guys.
Yes.
Not sim racing.
Right.
We're going to talk a little bit about sim racing.
Yes.
Because, really, it's, I mean... Yeah. We have a guest coming up that won a big sim race this week.
Yes.
That being said, we're going to talk about real racing that took place at Showtime Speedway down in Florida that we got a chance to watch.
Yes, we did, and enjoyed absolutely every single lap, every single moment of it. Didn't want it to end. It was beautiful last night. We had a good time.
We did. Hats off to Low Budget TV and to Showtime Speedway.
Yes.
You know, they did a great job. Social distancing, you've seen, you know, everybody staying away from each other, but there was still racing that was taking place, good hard racing. It was, you know, the super late model show that they put on was spectacular. What a racy little track.
Yeah,
I've never watched any racing from Showtime.
You know what? Two things that I never heard of. One was Showtime Speedway. I'd never heard of Showtime Speedway, and I'd never heard of Low Budget Television, TV, low-budget TV online. Never heard of either one until, just a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
The word was starting to come out that this Showtime Speedway was going to fire up. It was going to do a race, no fans, and it was going to be live on low-budget TV. And I had never heard of either one, but I'll tell you what, we not only hear of them, we watched it last night, and what a class act. All the way around, beautiful racetrack, and Low Budget TV did a fantastic job on the pay-per-view of it last night. It was dynamite.
They, you know, when you look at, Florida, I think of the high banks of New Smyrna, or, you know, the banked dirt track of Volusia.
Yeah, or Orlando Speedway.
Orlando Speed World, yeah. I am guilty of not hearing of Showtime Speedway as well.
Right.
I 2-3 weeks ago, Steven Nassi turned a few laps there, and it was all over Twitter, and I was like, damn, that's a neat looking little racetrack.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting. How everything transpired last night, and they did such a good job for it being so weird, right? And having no fans in the grandstands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Low Budget TV and Showtime and everybody, played it off perfectly. They're on the map now. I would love to know how many people watched last night. Like, if you were a true blue, asphalt racing supporter.
Short track fan, yep.
Yeah. You should have been watching last night.
I guarantee it.
And, I think that... in the conversations that we had, via text with lots of guys, there was a tremendous amount of Canadians dialed in.
Yeah.
Of course, they weren't the only show in town. The Knoxville World of Outlaws race was also this weekend on the dirt side.
On Pit Row TV. Tony Stevens
dirt,
did
on Dirt TV. It was Dirt
Pit Row had coverage as well, though.
From the...
They did, yep.
From where?
From what track? Knoxville.
From Knoxville.
Yeah, really? It was on
Pit Row TV.
Yeah. Huh.
Well, it was awesome. The Showtime Speedway race was, of course, the only race that I got a chance to watch.
Yeah.
But
two nights too, Friday night, Saturday night.
Yeah, yeah, back to back.
Some great classes.
Yeah,
super late models.
Some very unique classes.
Yeah, those super mini late models.
Yeah.
They were talk about eye-catching and quick. Very, very cool. Very interesting to watch.
I think they'd be a lot of fun. You know, when you look at the four-cylinder class, you know, kind of across the board, not just in Ontario, everywhere,
mm-hmm.
is such a – it's the wild, wild west.
It's tough to tech.
Well, it's impossible to tech, really, when you look at it. You know, you can buy, you know, a base model Civic from 1980 and you can, you know, run a new motor in it.
Yeah.
Like there's
European
a million
parts.
Different. Yeah. There's a million different variations of everything and there's different codes and numbers and everything. And really like why late model is the way that it is today is because that same reason, you know, is you know, back in the day, there became too many variations of cars
mm-hmm.
and they decided let's go to a tube. You know, style car or a Camaro style front clip and go from there, you know, and that's kind of the evolution of late model. And, you know, that was the first time for me seeing the late model version of a four cylinder car outside of the Goodies Dash series.
Yeah.
The Super Mini mods that they had there last night, reminded me, you know, fully of what a Goodies Dash car used to be.
Right.
You know,
Pro 4, right, at Flamborough Speedway. The Pro 4s, but they...
The Pro 4s all look different, you know?
They were all custom look.
They kind of look like a modified. Some of them look like a super modified. Some of them look like a center steer modified. Like, it's just kind of a yard sale of you know, mix and match cars out on the racetrack with the Pro 4s. Mm. No, they get it. They fly.
And they
put on a good show. I'm not knocking them at all.
Right.
But such a different, unique look to the Super Mod Minis.
Yeah.
And I would imagine, I don't know all the rules, and of course, coming up on the program, we're going to talk to the owner of Showtime Speedway.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the rules a little bit about those Minis, because really, I think, you know, a lot of people don't know the ins and outs of them, but I could see that being a class that really, you know, comes to, you know, town everywhere.
Yeah. When
you look at the, you know, the cost of running like a pro late model today, or a super stock, I would imagine that those things are just as fast as any super stock could be. And I would imagine that they're a tremendous amount less to run, cost wise. And it was pretty neat to see all the different variations of the bodies, you know, like,
well, there was
Mustangs.
There was
the new gen noses. There was the new gen tails.
They looked like template super late models.
They did. Yeah.
That's what they looked like.
Yeah, some of them looked like outlaw super late. Some of them looked like template super lates. Just a really neat class, and hats off to the entire division because really, They were one of the better shows last night. out of watching the sprint cars, the sprint car race at the end where those two guys were battling for the win.
Oh man,
my God, that was amazing racing.
Yep,
and
crossover
of course,
moves.
The 51 of Steven Nassi, who's also coming up on the program, put on a show with Michael Atwell. Unfortunately, rules kind of got in the way. Restart rules, kind of got in the way at the end. Atwell had to go to the back, with a very short amount of time left in the race. But Steven Nassi and Atwell, they were putting on a clinic. That was
and
good.
And that 30 car,
hardcore.
Too. He was right in there.
Yeah, Jesse Dutilly is, he's a standout shoe in super late models. Really, the class of talent. Towards the top 10 of that field was
Anthony
Sergi
looked really good early on. I think his tires sort of went away. But I know you commented last night as we were watching the show. Not a lot of stuff got tore up last night.
No.
There was hits and spins. Yellows did fly, but not a lot of big time damage. I guess Chris LaFontaine, his 47 car, had a little bit of right front damage.
Left front, but
not a lot.
Yeah,
not a lot.
No,
I didn't see a lot.
Not a whole lot of stuff got tore up, and that's good. That's good to see. It was really interesting to see how everything kind of took place. The racing on that racetrack. If you watched the race at Showtime Speedway last night, and you've never seen racing at Sauble Speedway, I would put those two tracks side by side.
Yes.
The only difference being that there's a figure eight track in the middle.
Yeah.
At Showtime. Yeah. Really, like when you look at Sauble Speedway and how it races, and maybe that's why we got so, you know, jacked up about it. We loved it.
Yeah.
Because it resembled every bit of what Sauble Speedway puts on
Even the banking at that track looked very comparable to the beach, didn't it?
It would be, you know, I would put it somewhere in between the 9 and you know, 13 degrees, which is exactly where Sauble Speedway is.
Yeah.
Just the style of racing. You know, you drive it hard into the corner, get the thing stopped on the center, and then drive off the corner.
Yeah.
And equal on both ends. Not to say that the track is totally equal or symmetrical both ends.
Right.
But very similar. They both ends drive very similar. And it was great racing. But if you liked what you've seen at Showtime, you would love what you see at Sauble Speedway as well.
Yeah.
It's, you know, very similar style, of racing. And that's, you know, good short track racing. I love when, you know, you got to get up on the wheel and wrestle the car around.
Yeah. There was an outside lane. Guys were using
sort
it
of.
Last night.
And that's kind of the nice part about stuff. It. That's kind of the nice part about it is that there isn't really an outside lane, but you could make it work on the restarts or you could make it work for a few laps.
Watching the 30 car on the outside last night, a couple times he got a runoff turn two. It looked like he was shot out of a cannon on the outside.
Yep.
Very cool. Let me tell you who we got on the show tonight. Robert Yoho, he is the promoter of Showtime Speedway in Pinellas Park, Florida, just outside Clearwater. Robert's going to be our first guest on here tonight. We'll also catch up with Joe Lawrence, driver of the number 78 in the APC series. He, on Thursday night, won the APC race on iRacing, and that's the final iRace for a little bit. They're going to take a little bit of a break in the series. Joe Lawrence goes to Victory Lane. We'll catch up with Joe tonight. Steven Nassi did go to Victory Lane in the Super Late Models at Showtime Speedway last night. We will catch up with Steven tonight on the show. And huge news, NASCAR's going to be back up and running come May 17th. And that's going to activate the Cup Series, the Xfinity Series, and the Truck Series. Tonight, we'll talk Xfinity in Hour 2 with Josh Williams, DGM 92 in the Xfinity Series. And we'll find out what Josh has been up to and how he is prepared to get things back underway with his 92 car.
Absolutely. And the ARCA Series as well is going to be firing up with that.
That's
as
right.
Well. So,
yeah.
Yeah, definitely interesting stuff. And
Races, 11 days.
Yeah, something like that.
It's going to be off the hook.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be exciting. You know, everybody in the NASCAR community is getting jacked up for it. It's I think every fan is out there, you know, pulling for this deal to work. And, you know, it's going to be really interesting to hear Josh's take on what's happening, you know, behind the scenes to get ready for it.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different, right? Usually you have a tremendous amount of haul time and you only have a handful of races that are close to home. This is going to be a lot different and a lot more racing, you know. So a small team like DGM, this could help them, you know.
It could
be a very good thing for DGM. Not to say that the tracks that they're going to are you know, the strengths of what DGM offers, because I think that their strengths are super speedways, short tracks, and road courses. But when you look at, you know, the ability to stay close to home, the ability to, you know, only haul for a few hours.
Right.
It definitely, you know, lends itself well to the smaller teams. And, you know, getting these guys out of the gate, the teams that are paid, you know, to work on race cars, they went without a paycheck for a long period of time, and just getting back to the racetrack is going to be a huge help to the industry, and hats off to NASCAR for putting it together this way and really taking a look at what the schedule entails. They're going to be able to bring in a lot of revenue in a short period of time if you do well. So it's good.
It's all fanless, too. So we got lots to talk about tonight. And we're going to get this thing underway here right after. We're going to go to break right now. When we come back, we're going to grab the promoter of Showtime Speedway, did a fantastic job last night and on the weekend. We got Robert Yoho coming up on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started.
Hey, race fans, this is Larry Berrio, and you're listening to Racetime Radio on Sirius XM, Channel 167, Canada Talks.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tilt Load, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce.
But I got a good deal.
To the insight of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Cheap Trick guitarist Rick Nielsen on Canada Talks.
There's 17 albums of all different stuff, and we've never stopped touring. We never expected to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We never expected something for nothing. You know, we spent our own money making our records, too, you know, and we did it, and we listened to people.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167, and on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
oh. Perfect!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Hey,
hear rare interviews and performances.
Oh, USA.
Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, SiriusXM Channel 20.
Race time radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in here tonight. Man, I'll tell you what, on the weekend, where we treated Junior and I were glued to the tube. Low-budget TV is where we were tuned in. Showtime Speedway in Florida got out of the box. Man, they got some dynamite racing. What a beautiful little racetrack. And we are fortunate enough to have the promoter of the Speedway with us, Robert Yoho. He is with us on the hotline. Robert, how are you tonight?
Pretty good, pretty good. How about yourself, sir?
Not bad at all. First, on behalf of everyone in North America, we got to say thank you. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts to get things fired back up. You guys did an amazing job Friday night, Saturday night, under the lights. It was dynamite racing.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, a lot of hard work goes into staff and everything. We were down on fans, but we decided to take a chance and try to break even.
Man, and that's tough to do. Robert, I used to have a racetrack myself. I had one for 14 years up here in Ontario, Canada, Sauville Speedway. And I don't know how you did it, my friend. I don't know how you pulled off the races that you did without having fans in the grandstands. That's got to be a monumental task to try and pull that off.
The way I pulled that off is I reached deep in my pocket and took my personal money and paid the drivers.
Wow.
That's what happened.
Amazing.
I tell you what, and we had a conversation off the air, Robert, you know, before you jumping on here. The you put Showtime Speedway on the map in a huge way by doing what you did. And I hope that, you know, that is going to be a long-term investment. Everybody that's in the racing community knows Showtime Speedway, and I think that's going to go a really long way with everybody across the board, whether it be a four-cylinder driver or whether it be a super late model driver. It was incredible, and really it was inspiring for everybody on the motorsports side to see racing on the racetrack again. It felt like for a long time we weren't going to see racing this year, and it's just incredible to be able to take it in. And thank you from me as well.
Well, we appreciate all the people that watch. You know, we've been doing with Low Budget TV, we do our national wide event in February. And so we try to do a couple of low budget TVs. We're going back on in 2 weeks with a Florida shootout against with the Outlaw figure eights in a big hard lap race.
That was amazing too. I did catch some figure eight racing, Robert. Wild to say the least. And the cars that you've got assembled to run those races, they look like an all pro modified up here with a wing on the back of them. But they're beautiful looking race cars, and you guys really get it on.
Yeah. Well, we took Steven Nassi and put him in my figure eight car. He drove it, and he goes, "That is more sophisticated than my super I run." He just kind of laughed. And actually, I have a bigger motor than mine than his super does, built by Progressive. Them cars are not your typical figure eight cars. They're very expensive and out of sight cars.
I wouldn't 100%. Doubt it. I got to ask you, and I know Junior and I were watching last night and watching those cars. Are they a straight rail car, or is driver in the center of that car, or how are those configured?
Yeah, we set the center of the car like a sprint car, the drive shaft down the middle, and it's you got a little more cushion, and we put a lot of door bars on both sides.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. And the other thing that really jumps off the page and talking to, you know, a number of racers and a lot of people had a lot of questions about the Super Outlaw Minis that you guys have. That is a really unique take on the four-cylinder model, and wanted to kind of, you know, pick your brain a little bit about what the rules are for that class and what the base of those cars are. Are they like a full tube clip style car?
Yeah. They run, you know, they're like 10-0s, and they were allowed them to do anything with the bodies, and they wanted 2,300cc motors or different motors. We have so much pound per cc. It's just basically they got to be on 13-inch tires and struts.
Very, very competitive class. Looked tremendous.
Yeah, James Glover is just amazing.
He is, for sure, 100%. did a fantastic job behind the wheel. Watching that class kind of, you know, go through the paces, how long has that class been going?
It used to be called Mod Mini. I renamed it because when I told people to come out and watch Mod Minis, they think they're watching a Pinto or a four-cylinder car.
For sure.
I renamed the class 3 years ago from Mod Minis to Super Mini Late Models because they're basically a late model on four-cylinder.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Did a dynamite job. That 58 car last night, I thought he was going to come back and win that race.
He's one of our top drivers, Larson.
Yeah. Amazing. Good show all the way around. We get up into the Supers. And, Robert, you were also in the race, too. You got a super late model yourself.
Yeah, I own everything. I was going to drive a sprint car, too. L.J. Grimm jumped in my sprint car, the other 88, Dayton Andrews Dodge Special BG. And I put L.J. Grimm in mine because it was just too much to do. Cody Stickler was originally supposed to drive my late model because being a track owner and promoter, you just don't have a lot of time. And I was running out of time. So I drove in and got taken out by the same guy three times. And I asked him, I said, why did you hit me? He goes, well, the other guys don't have the money to fix their car, so I figured you wouldn't get mad.
Nice guy.
Great guy. The next race, he's going to replace a couple bumper bars, I imagine.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Robert, you're obviously a true blue racer. I want to know more about you as a person, because you're obviously a diehard racer, you know, at the core. What led you to become a promoter of a racetrack as well? You know, I want to know a little bit of history background on you yourself.
Well, I grew up in a single-parent house. My dad raised me, and I had to work since I was 10 years old. And I used to work at the Speedway selling Cokes at that track. All my friends raced and everything else. And then when I turned 17, I jumped in the Army, joined the Army, did my time in the Army, got out, went to the post office, and I was working away, and I brought a race car. And I started in super late models. I didn't race anything but a super. And then I went down and around and started building all different classes. And I got tired of the racers getting screwed. So, you know, I try to make it where a family comes in the track to get the money to come out and everything. And the track came up for bid, so I bid on it. And damned if I didn't win it.
Good stuff.
That's kind of how it happened.
How long have you owned the Speedway?
This one's 6 years.
Nice. Awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, you got a beautiful track there. Staff looked like they were right on point all night long. Jake Wilson, the announcer, guy did a
Jake
tremendous
job. One of a
job.
Kind. Yeah. One of a kind.
He is. 100%. You know, one of the super talents, really, in the announcing world, to be able to tie everything together and call it radio style, but on TV, and paint the picture that he does. We're talking him up. He's going to get a raise now. He's got to get a raise now.
Stop it. I can't give raises. I'm on his TV. Okay. Go ahead.
I was just laughing. I hear you, man. It's 100%. Looking forward now for the rest of the year, you know, where do you see, you know, as a promoter, as a racer, where do you see the year heading?
Down the tubes.
Yeah.
I think America is, you know, they're calling it the new norm. I think you're going to find out. I got different other businesses, and I've opened them up partially, and it's nothing like it was. I think people are going to have to relearn what they want to do, and I think racing's going to take a tremendous hit.
Yep. I second
that. It's not just
I got to regroup and figure out a way to make it work.
But it's not just you guys down in the U.S. Up here in Canada, same thing. It doesn't look too promising heading in to what we're looking at. But I'll tell you, it was a bright light this weekend at Showtime Speedway. How did it all shake out? I know you had BG Lubricants on board. You had some other sponsors involved. What was the reaction like from them? Were they happy with everything? They should be.
Oh, BG was ecstatic. My couple local sponsors were real happy. But, you know, this was the third week I got canceled. It took me 3 weeks to fight with the government, and I was being closed down every week, and these other tracks were just opening because they said the hell with it. But we did it right. You know, people were not taking this COVID-19 virus serious, and we are taking it serious. We turned 8 people away at the gate. We had medical staff at the gate. We checked the temperatures and everything else and took and made people leave if they had temperatures. And we rehearsed it the best we could and tried to be as safe as we can. But and the sponsors loved that, and they really thought it was great. We needed more sponsors, but low-budget TV is going to help us out, and BG, and they were our main 2 sponsors.
Well, dynamite job. Low-budget TV, I'd never heard of them before. Until this weekend, and I'll tell you what, the broadcast was quality, very, very watchable, and I would urge all race fans to, in 2 weeks' time, it's 2 weeks and you're going to do it again, right?
Yes, sir.
And what's going to be on the card 2 weeks from now, Robert?
The world-famous outlaw figure-eight cars, 100 laps. We got the Tunney boys coming in, Harmon, Riddle, you know, we got 18 pre-entered cars for this race.
Wow.
It's going to be a race of the year.
And how many laps?
100.
It will be. We're going to do 100 laps with it. We think 75 or 100. We ain't decided 100% sure yet.
Gotcha.
Yeah, okay. That's going to be dynamite. Super Lates, will they be back on the schedule to run anything?
Oh, they run once a month at our track.
Okay.
we got a monthly schedule. We don't know when we're going to be able to fall back into it.
Right.
For sure.
Right. So fans can stay up on everything Showtime Speedway. Imagine you're on the internet. Tell us how fans, listeners can check out Showtime.
You can go to, I got a YouTube channel called Yoho Wide Open. So on YouTube, you can find us at Yoho Wide Open. On Facebook, you can find us at Showtime Sweet and Showtime Drag Strip. And our email is yohoracing@aol.com.
Dynamite stuff. Tremendous job this weekend. You've got fans guaranteed up here. And we'll definitely be grabbing low-budget TV. And fans are going to have to tune in. I'll tell you what, it's going to be dynamite. Is there going to be fans allowed at the next race?
We're not sure. We're not sure what they're going to do. We think that we will go to phase two. If we do go to phase two, we'll be allowed 50% of capacity.
Cool.
And that wouldn't be bad, right? If they all have masks on.
No.
You guys looked like you were doing a dynamite job there, keeping everything in check. I did have a real good chuckle, I got to admit, Robert. Seeing you with that clear cone was something that really made us laugh.
Yes, sir. Conehead, they called me.
I tweeted it out to the orange cone, said clearly it must be a relative.
Yes.
Amazing
totally
stuff,
cool, man. Thank you very much from everyone up here, and best of luck moving forward, man.
As we say it, yes, I'll give you one of our logos. It's Showtime Speedway, and the race is the fastest quarter mile, home of chaos. It's going to be huge in 2 weeks.
That's it. We will never forget it. We'll be talking lots about it, Robert. Thanks so much for the time tonight, and thanks for all you do.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. That's all Robert right. Yoho. Dynamite job. What a racetrack. You got to check it out. And Low Budget TV is going to be there again in 2 weeks' time, Junior. It's going to be off the hook.
For sure. And, he's a showman. He is. 100% Showtime Speedway is the perfect name for him. They did a great job. You can't say enough about it. If you didn't get a chance to watch this weekend, make sure you tune in to the figure eight style stuff. Promoters need to, take a look and take a page out of this guy's book. He interacts with everybody at the racetrack.
He does.
You can tell that, this is a labor of love for him. And, really cool to see somebody that fired up, he talks about losing money, and this is a topic that, we've touched on in the past. Racetracks need to make money.
They do.
And I, obviously I've seen it from both sides, right? I'm a diehard competitor. I love being a competitor on a race team.
Right.
I love whether it's driving, whether it's spotting, whether it's working in the marketing department. I'm a competitor through and through. And we've all seen things at the racetrack that you're like, what are you doing? We've all seen those things as a competitor looking at the other side of the track ownership, the promoters, whatever, right? We've seen, things where maybe they call a race early because of rain and you don't know why.
Right.
Right. Or maybe it looks like rain and they call it. Or maybe the gate prices went up. Maybe whatever.
Right.
As a competitor, you look at it and you're like, damn, why are you screwing up our sport? Right? but you got to look at it from both sides. These tracks are where we play. That's where we get to go and have fun.
Right.
Whether you're doing it as a job or whether you're doing it as fun, no matter what, you're doing it because you love it. And these track owners should be revered if they're making money.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that Robert Yoho makes no bones about it. I didn't make money this weekend.
No.
I didn't make money this weekend.
Spent,
how many racetrack owners say that?
He spent a lot of money this weekend.
He spent
to
money.
Do what he had to do.
Yeah.
I'm telling you now, I do know the numbers. You cannot viably run a race like he had there last night. Super late models, wing sprint cars. He had the four-cylinder cars. He had the street stocks in at the end of the night. You can't run four classes of cars at a racetrack and not have fans.
No,
you can't do it. Financially, you can't do it.
Yep.
When and if a sponsor, BG, came along and helped him out, Some of those sponsors, he mentioned he has some local sponsorship that kicked in. That will cushion the blow. But trust me when I say, the amount of money that it costs to pull an event off like that, last night would have been a good 30, 40 grand that would have been in hard cost. That's just the payout for these guys.
Exactly.
Don't forget that there's employees that he had to pay. He had insurance that he had to pay, lights, and oh, you name it. It goes on and on. The costs are real, and it costs a lot of money, and the window is very small. It is virtually impossible to run one of those races without fans.
100%.
You got to have support from some way. It's just, and to see what he did, and to see low-budget TV there, I think the cost was $34 or something for the night or for the weekend so you could watch the whole thing. You know, sometimes you buy those pay-per-views and you regret the fact that you bought it because some of them are no better than a Facebook Live broadcast. Not so with low-budget TV.
Nope.
It reminded me so much of Pit Row TV.
Yeah, it did.
Tony Stevens does an amazing job with his service.
Yep.
He does all the U.S. Legends stuff, Cars Tour, does a lot of different races. I got huge respect for Tony Stevens and Pit Row TV. Tommy Mason and Low Budget TV fits right into that category now.
Yep.
Very, very watchable. Instant replays, audio was dead nuts.
Yep.
Everything. Yep. I was really, really impressed.
Absolutely.
Very impressed.
Yep. And, you know, it's got to get to a point where he makes money at that, right?
Well, it has to.
No, 100%. If these racetrack owners are not making money, we are not going to have a place to race.
No, you're
not.
So,
it's so imperative. And really, I think it's on the shoulders of everybody. Because if you are a racer and you've ever said a negative word about a racetrack owner,
right?
If everybody's guilty of it. Everybody is guilty of pointing the finger and saying this is this is bad for the sport. This is just a money grab. This is just that.
Everything is the racetrack's fault.
Everything is always the racetrack's fault. Yeah. And that needs to stop. If one thing comes out of this COVID-19 stuff, that is a benefit, that is a positive, is I think that everybody has just got to rally behind these racetracks and prop them up. They have to get to a point where they have a suitable revenue stream that they can operate on.
Yeah.
Whether it be a streaming platform, whether it be increased gate numbers, whether it be whatever,
right?
Increased purse, decreased purse, whatever it may be. These track owners all need to make money, and I think that everybody that's in the competitor base needs to rally behind that and needs to get to a point where they can accept the fact that the track owner is the only one in business and everybody else is playing.
Yeah, yeah, they're all doing it for fun. You know, if you sort of do a comparison here to your local community, you've got arenas. That's where everybody goes and they play hockey. You got to pay to be part of that hockey team. You got to pay for ice time. You got to do all of that stuff. So it is comparable to racing where, guys pay to race.
Yeah.
The big difference is that arena that you're in and you're playing the game in or you're skating, doing whatever you're doing at that arena, it's all publicly funded.
It doesn't have to feed a family.
It is.
It doesn't have to buy a vehicle.
It doesn't have to do all those things.
It
does a pile of stuff.
Exactly.
But they are either funded by the government on a federal level, provincial level, or a municipal level. At a racetrack, at your local racetrack, that isn't funded at all.
No, exactly.
Actually, it puts money into the system. The amount of money that it costs. Yeah. And the amount of money that it generates and taxes and you name it, it's astronomical. And all of that is on the shoulders of that promoter to try and keep everybody and trying to keep the whole thing going.
Yeah.
It's astronomical. And you know what? They do it. They do it and they take a lot of crap and it's just not fair. Like you say, all of that needs to change. But we got to hit a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to a guy that went to Victory Lane at in the APC race on Thursday night on iRacing, did a whale of a job. Joe Lawrence is going to join us on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. Built this city.
Hey, race fans. This is Ernie Irvin. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
In the wall. He'll slide up and he'll slam on the safer barrier and he clips Larson. He'll send Larson.
The thrill of the race. Live from the track.
Definitely sliding into it, out of control.
It's unbelievable how quickly things can change in racing.
There's no weak spot.
You just never know how it's going to play out.
Insider access to the drivers.
We'll roll with it. We're enjoying it. We'll collect as many trophies as we can.
And the exclusive home to Happy Hours, hosted by Kevin Harvick.
It's a new normal. Better figure it out.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Canadian singer-songwriter Stephen Page.
I've been fairly quiet about political things over the last bunch of years. You know, I moved to the United States. I can't vote there. I'm not a citizen. I can't vote here anymore because I've been away for longer than 5 years. And I was wondering whether I had a right to speak up or whether it mattered whether I spoke up. Closest to a conclusion that I could come is this is who I am. And the best thing I can be as an artist is honest.
Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167.
Racetime Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you close. If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio on SiriusXM 167.
And welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight. We really appreciate it. Make sure you tell your friends. We are on SiriusXM, Channel 167. Now, we are on a little bit of a delay, okay? Since COVID-19 came around, we don't have an op in the studio in Toronto on Sunday nights anymore. So our show is done, like you're listening to it right now. And we email transfer that to the channel, and then they re-air it again next Sunday night. So there is a delay there, but soon as COVID-19, as soon as things start opening up again in the city of Toronto, we'll have our app back, and then boom, we'll be back live on SiriusXM. But you still get the programming throughout the course of the week, and you can also tune in on 98.9 XFM Antigonish throughout the course of the week. And the Performance Motorsport Network.com down in the U.S. airs Racetime Radio like two or three times throughout the course of the week. Gearhead Country Radio, or we are available on iTunes. Just search Racetime Radio. Don't forget to hit like and subscribe, and you'll never miss Racetime Radio again. Or you can get it at racetimeradio.com. You can listen on demand or listen live like you are right now. Those are all the different ways you can get the show. And we really appreciate it. Let's get back to the hotline, shall we? And let's welcome in a guy that he aced it in the APC series presented by Grisdale on iRacing. It's Joe Lawrence. He drives the 78, and he did her on Thursday night. Let's welcome him in. Joe, what's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic, my man. You nailed it. You went to Victory Lane on Thursday night. How'd that one feel?
Definitely felt good. Knowing that they're going to be taking a break to finish off on a strong note was great to do.
Yeah, the guys are starting to get better at it. I know it was a little bit hair-raising, the first race or two. It takes time to get used to that simulator. These guys are definitely better behind the wheel of their actual race car than they are of their simulators, and I'm talking the majority here. Guys like you and Dale Shaw and Caden and Trayton Lapsevich, you guys are crafty veterans at this of the simulator style of racing, and it definitely paid dividends for you Thursday night. I didn't get a chance to watch the whole race. How did you do throughout the course of that? Did you get the lead near the end, or were you up front all night?
No, we started on the pole and led right to the end. So it was pretty smooth sailing, but the restarts were pretty hairy at times. There was a lot of good guys that kept giving me a good run for my money, but in the end, we were able to keep it on top and come home with checkers.
I want to say Friday morning, I was going through Twitter. I seen a tweet there from Rick Burbridge, and he said, thank God they counted cautions.
Yeah, whoever decided to count cautions.
Needed a medal.
Yeah, needed a medal, yeah. Rick Burbridge is a good dude. Now, we've seen the paint scheme on your car. It looked a little bit different. Is that what your 2020 paint scheme is going to look like, Joe?
Yep, that was our plan to roll out with that first race at Sunset. Unfortunately, with all that's been going on, we were unable to do that, so we took it to the iRacing world.
Well, it looks damn good. It's going to look cool. When we finally get to the racetrack, that's a banging-looking number 78. Now, you always have a good-looking race car, but that's next-level stuff. Who worked on the design, and who worked on the livery for you?
Ryan Dyson did all the work for the paint scheme design and putting it onto the iRacing world.
Cool.
Obviously, we haven't quite got to the wrapping of the real car this time yet, but we got a lot of help with that. Deckle Dave, we like to call him, helps with Sirius. He does a bunch of cars, and yeah, we love working with him on that kind of stuff.
Deckle Dave does a lot of race cars in a year.
Does he?
Deckle Dave does a ton of them. He's really good. A Delaware guy, right?
Out of London?
Is he in London? Yeah, he's right in London, right?
Yep, Auto Trim Design in London.
Yep, Decal Dave. He's a good dude. When you look at some of the talent on the Deckle side, you know, Deckle Dave, the 52 Lions, Lions' brother.
Steve?
He does
Scott?
An amazing job. Dennis? Yep. Dennis at
Thompson.
Yeah, Dennis Thompson, and then Craig Kamrath.
Yes,
I think when you like, we've got some of the most talented design guys here in Ontario.
Yeah,
there's
really some good ones.
When you look at the scope of all of the, you know, the awesome looking paint schemes that we see across late model, super stock, whatever it may be, I would put, you know, the Ontario scene right at the top of the heap for, you know, the cleanliness and the, you know, the sponsor driven visibility paint schemes across Ontario. I would say that we have some of the best in North America right here within a 2-hour drive of Sauble Beach.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. When are you going to send the car in for the wrap, Joe?
Well, we've actually started on a new car, so once we have all the loose ends buttoned up here in the next 2 or 3 weeks, we'll be sending it off and getting it all prettied up and ready to go for night number one.
Well, we know right now that things are definitely not going to go according to the schedule that every racetrack has laid out here in the province of Ontario. Ideally, for you as a race team, what would you like to see? Our schedule is going to be screwed up. What would you see as an alternative? I know last week we had Dale Shaw on here. He said, wouldn't it be cool to run 6 races, not all the tracks open at one time, and run 6 different races and just move it from track to track? What's your vision, or what would your wish list look like?
Honestly, I've thought about that a couple times, how they would go about it, and I don't really know, to be honest. I think it would be really cool just to see each track get a couple races with big invitationals, and, you know, get everybody there one night and have some really big car counts and strong competition.
Yeah, that's what it's going to take, right? There's no doubt there's still going to be, even when the tracks do open up, I believe there's still going to be some people that are definitely not going to look at going into a crowded area. They're going to be holding back. So I think it's going to be imperative that if you do have a show, you're going to need it to be a big one where people come from all over to actually fill that place up. It would be kind of cool, and I think it's possible.
I agree with that. It'd be really good to see, and I think right now we just need to support all the tracks and keep them all going, because ideally, as long as they stay open, we all get to do what we love.
Yeah, exactly. It takes everybody in order for everything to happen. It's going to be, they're definitely different times, and it'll be interesting. I know last week we had Mark Rinaldi on here from Brighton Speedway. The racetracks have pulled together now. There is 29 of them actually signed up to the association that Mark and everyone has put together. Kind of a cool thing to see what's happening in the background right now. They are laying out guidelines to make things safer and trying to make it so that they can get at least practice fired up and then beyond. But there is a lot of thought going into what is taking place right now. It's kind of cool to see. I know everybody doesn't know everything about it, but I can tell you from where I sit and what I'm seeing, very promising looking, that the guys are putting a lot of thought into this. It's going to pay dividends, I do believe. It's cool.
Yeah, I agree. I was just starting to read up on that, actually, and it's just great to see how all these tracks are coming together and just trying to work as one to figure out a plan on how to go forward here and get everybody on the track and having some fun this year.
So sponsorship-wise, we got everything buttoned up then for the 78 car. You all set to roll that way?
Pretty much, yeah. We're just kind of waiting and hoping we can hit the track as soon as possible here. TPC, Pennzoil are back on board, and just an honor to be racing for them. And I'm hoping we can get them a couple checkered flags here in real life, too.
Joe, obviously talking about iRacing, that's the entire reason you're on the show tonight, because you went to Victory Lane. Who do you have the most amount of fun racing with on there? Obviously, you know, you've been iRacing for quite some time, but who do you really, you know, race well with on iRacing?
Well, honestly, out of the whole series, there's a couple guys that are a lot of fun to race with, but the Lapsovich brothers, they're probably one of the funnest groups to go with. We race hard side by side, clean, and it's just fun, good racing. Last race there, Ryan Dyson was a ton of fun. He was on the front row with me quite a few restarts and always made it entertaining and a good, clean battle with him. But there was a lot of guys that were really starting to pick it up quickly, like Rick Walt, Josh Stoddy. They were really starting to figure it out, and it was getting fun to race with those guys as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, looking at, kind of give us a little bit of background on, you know, we talked to Dale Shaw on how long he's been iRacing for, and obviously you're a crafty veteran. If you get to go to Victory Lane over some of those guys, how long have you been doing it?
Definitely been doing it a while. It feels weird being called a veteran, even though in real life, I'm just last year as a rookie.
But, absolutely.
Yeah, I've been, since I went to school in the States, I got on that a year or two before that. And probably 2011, I think, is when I first got it.
Okay.
And since then, it's been kind of off and on. I would be 1 year beyond it quite a bit. The next year, maybe not so much. So over time, it's definitely what it takes to be good on there is just putting in the laps and doing the effort. It's very different driving wise. You miss, like, you don't have the feel of the seat, so you're relying on what you have in the wheel and what you see on the screen. But once you get it figured out, it's not much different than racing in real life, and iRacing does a great job on keeping it as realistic as possible.
Do you have a favorite car configuration and track?
That is a really tough one. There's so many different car combos you can put on that.
Yeah.
I know last time I was looking, I think there's like 56 different cars and somewhere around 60 different tracks you could go to with the iRacing. So
It's a tough one. I know I have a couple of favorites. I like Phoenix and a couple of the short tracks like USA, Martinsville. They're a ton of fun. One of my favorite cars, actually, is the street stocks. It's just, don't know why, they're more durable, and, you know, it's good short track, bump and run, Robbins racing. It kind of makes it fun. Especially at the end of the day, you just reset, and it doesn't cost you too much money.
Yeah, no tire bill.
I can't see a Lawrence liking bumping and running. I can't see any Lawrence liking that. I'm joking. I'm kidding.
So the APC series is going to take a little break now on iRacing. Will you also take the little break, or are you going to be hunting around for other shows to get into?
I'm not really sure yet. I'm enjoying a little bit of a break, but also it's kind of fun to hop on there and just pick and choose races here and there that you can do. It's sometimes tiring just knowing at the start of a week that, yeah, you have to be ready and prepared for a race coming on Thursday. So it's definitely, I enjoy it more just getting on one night and just seeing what's on there and going. I don't really like to plan things ahead for that.
Well, I'll tell you, 2 weeks from now, Showtime Speedway is going to be back up down in Florida. Low-budget TV is where it's going to be at. Did you by chance check the racing out that was on there this weekend?
I didn't get a chance, but I heard there was some good stuff going on.
Amazing. You got to check it out, Joe, a couple weeks from now. And then hopefully, fingers crossed, we can start seeing some action on this side of the border. Even if it's just practice, it would be kind of cool to find out what everybody's got.
Definitely. It'll be exciting to see the cars out on the track and see everybody's hard work through the winter and the beginning of the year here.
Well, you're one up on them right now. In the iRacing world, I know you're going to be tough when we get those cars actually on the racetrack. Joe, we appreciate the time tonight on Race Time. Congratulations on the win. Savor that victory. And we look forward to catching up with you at the Speedway as soon as we possibly can.
Always do. Thanks, guys.
Have fun building that new car.
Yeah. Oh, we will. Don't worry.
That's Joe Lawrence, driver of the 78 in the APC Series, presented by Grisdale. A little break now in iRacing, but kind of good. You're the last guy that won the race. That's got to feel good.
Yeah, absolutely. It's incredible to hear him. You know, building a new car gives him a little bit of time, right?
Yeah.
With this, Joe Lawrence in a brand new piece at the racetrack. The numbers that he was laying down, you know, last year, the year prior, and kind of the trajectory of where he's headed. He's going to be a threat for the championship when we do get back to going. And in a new piece, with all this downtime, there's a lot of guys doing some R&D. I know guys aren't on the racetrack, but talking to a guy, Rick Verburn, he literally took apart his car and put it back together. And that's what these guys are all doing in the shop tinkering.
Yeah, they sure are. They're learning lots in the background. Yeah. That's kind of cool to see. We're going to throw it back to Toronto, get you up to date on some news and highlights. Stuff you may have missed through hour number one. And then Junior and I are back for hour two. You're going to hear from Stephen Nassi. We still have Josh Williams coming up, the Xfinity driver, the 92 for DGM. We got still lots coming at you in hour two, but we're first going to get you up to date. If you're tuned in on Sirius XM, this will make sense. If you're listening on racetimeradio.com, you'll be able to listen to what we've got. But we will be back for hour two in just a couple of moments. Stay with us. Don't go anywhere. About 90 seconds is all it takes. We'll get you up to date, and then we'll be back for hour two. Stay right there.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Perfect! Woo!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
With the two Joes
here on Race Time Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour number two begins tonight on Race Time Radio. So glad you could tune in right here on Sirius XM channel 167, Canada Talks. I want to remind you too, if you're looking around for iRacing stuff, iRacing content, don't forget timscorner.ca. Tim's got lots happening in the iRacing world. He's been doing all kinds of special events with the competitors out in the Maritimes. I've been on a few of them and had a gas with them. A lot of good guys, a lot of good racing. For iRacing, you'll want to check it out. It is some really good racing. I know, I don't know what, did you tune in to any of them, Junior?
I haven't.
No.
I haven't. Well, a little bit. Like the one that you were on.
Yeah.
The show that you were on. I tuned in for a little bit. It's tough. You know, I mean, I like watching, you know, iRacing when I know the competitors.
Right,
like,
right.
I knew a couple of them.
Yeah.
Like the APC one, I'm more apt to just because I'm, you know.
You know all the teams.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, real racing, I don't need to know anybody
right.
to tune in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not to say that it's not real racing. I'm just saying, you know, from my, you know, personal preference, I'd like to, you know, tune in and watch some real racing.
Well, Tim invited me to come on and help the guys call the race. There was adequate announcers, guaranteed. Mike James from Eastbound Park was also in there. I found it difficult. I know the Pro Stock Tour guys.
Yeah.
And I know the guys that run at Scotia Speed World for the most part.
Yeah.
But outside of that, it gets difficult. I know the guys at Eastbound. I was out there for a couple of years. But trying to call a race when the feed that I had didn't have any scoring on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'm not familiar with the car numbers, not familiar
with
the names.
Yeah.
I'm only like, I know maybe... I don't know, 20%?
Yeah.
So I can't just look and call what I see. So I found it difficult that way. So I've sort of backed out of it because I don't want to sound like a loon and not know the name of the guys.
Yeah.
Difficult position. But I can tell you that the racing that I've witnessed has been fantastic. Like four or five cautions in a 100-lap race, which isn't out of the norm. You know, hits, spins, that kind of stuff. But the guys do a bang-up job. And it was kind of cool seeing some of the young competitors that I know out on the East Coast, Danny Chisholm from Scotia Speed World.
Yep.
See him now, like he is. He was a Bandolero driver, did a great job in the Bandolero. To see him in iRacing, running either a street stock or a super, and to see the success that the kid's having, kind of cool to see.
Very cool.
Very, and there was other guys like that, that were very interesting. I know Mike James, the last I spoke with Mike, he was trying to get a race put together for the Eastbound guys from Newfoundland and trying to put a night together and run a race. It'll be interesting to see if that comes together for them.
For sure.
I know Mike will be hard at work getting that put together, but... I mentioned it just before we went to the break. 29 tracks now signed up in Ontario for the association that Mark Rinaldi has got put together with Brighton Speedway. It's going to be interesting, Junior. It's going to be very interesting. I've taken a look through some of the, you know, the guidelines that they have laid out that they're going to put forth to the government and try and work together so that, you know, the racetracks don't get lost in the shuffle.
Exactly.
If you go by everything that I've seen, racetracks are going to be dead last to open back up.
Yeah.
So that's where the difficulty comes in. And I don't think it needs to be that way. I honestly don't think we need to be dead last. First of all, we're outside.
Yep.
That's where you want to be, is outside. A lot better than being on or in any kind of enclosed area. Mm-hmm. You want to be outside. Social distancing shouldn't be a problem. Now, when you're talking grandstand, of course, you know, a full grandstand, you're sitting shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
But that's where a mask would come in, right? The masks are used when social distancing is a problem.
Yeah.
So, you know, to ensure, put a mask on. And that is when you're talking inside.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you wore a mask outside and you were sitting shoulder to shoulder, I can't see where you're, you know, putting yourself at a higher risk.
Yeah.
Like, nothing's perfect.
It's just the amenities.
Nothing's perfect.
The amenities, right? It's everything is shared. Everything is shared with a group of people.
What is shared, though?
Bathrooms, concession stands, all of those things are shared.
No, concession stands aren't.
Well, they are.
No, well, you go to McDonald's and you eat now.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Yeah.
There is no difference. None.
None.
Correct. You're going to the window,
mm-hmm.
and they're preparing it,
yep.
and they're going to hand it to you.
Yeah. But they're not, like, yeah.
Well,
I mean,
there is no difference there.
With a group of hundreds of people or thousands of people.
Right.
There's no way to safeguard against the social distancing portion.
Well, a mask.
So, I mean.
A mask. You put a mask on.
Yeah, 100%. But,
right.
But they're, the way that I see it happening is they're obviously going to lessen the restriction down to groups of 10 people. And then I would assume that it's going to go to 50 people.
Still got
to
have a mask on.
And then I assume that it's going to go to 400 people or 500 people.
Right.
You know, the racetracks are not going to be profitable until you get to that 1,000-person mark.
Well, yeah. You need to have it where it's, you know, half a grandstand or three-quarters of a grandstand in order to make it a break-even or a slight profit.
And that is going to be where the difficult portion comes in, is just getting to the point where you're going to have, you know, a large enough number that's allowed in order to compete.
If a church opens up, I can't see why, if a church opens up,
they're not.
I can't see. I know, but when they do,
mm-hmm.
when a church opens up,
mm-hmm.
I can't see the difference between a church and a speedway.
Well,
we're actually in a better spot because we are outside. Where a church, you're inside.
But I like once the church is allowed, you'll be allowed. As well, like the racetrack would be allowed.
Well,
too.
I'm hoping, but from
like
the
it's
stuff
the same
that
as concerts,
seen.
Right? Concerts and you know concerts and all sporting events really that has, you know, grandstands.
Big difference inside to outside. Big difference.
Yeah.
Big difference.
I mean, it is, but an outdoor concert is the same deal,
right?
So I mean, it's not like racetracks are alone in this deal. It's I mean, when you look at the numbers of people. Racetracks are in a difficult spot because it takes so many people in order to make it profitable. Same with concerts.
Right.
Right? Like, it takes so many people to... It's built on... It's a numbers game.
Right.
You need to have thousands of people in order to make it profitable.
But there's two things. Outside is one. So the distance, the social distance part of it... 6 feet apart when you're outside, I don't, like, okay, if it's 6 feet apart, that's without a mask. With a mask, the whole idea of wearing a mask, and I retweeted it out
mm-hmm.
The other day from the Ontario Health website,
mm-hmm.
you put a mask on when social distancing isn't possible. That's when you wear a mask. When it's not possible to social distance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, if you got a mask on, you're outside,
yep.
then I can't see a problem with going side by side.
Yeah.
Because you've got a mask on and so does your neighbor. Everybody's got one on.
Yeah.
So I can't see the difference.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
It's about controlling the amount of people that's there.
But what's the difference if they got a mask on? Whether you got 10 people or 1,000 people, what is the difference?
100%. But the governments are going to take a safe approach to everything. It doesn't matter if
you're
in Ontario or BC or Florida.
And don't get me wrong. I want it to be safe.
Yeah.
I want it to be safe. That's what I'm saying. Put a mask on.
Yeah.
Even though you're outside, put one on.
Yeah.
But
it'll be interesting to see the timeline in which they're going to hold back the event from happening.
Well,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're correct. Like the mask portion, the gloves, whatever,
right.
whatever PPE that is mandated. But I don't see a mandate coming down the pipe from anywhere. Like nobody is mandating something. So
right.
You're going to have people that don't follow it. If you go to the grocery store right now,
Three quarters of the people do not have a mask on.
No, and you see
or
the itch
gloves.
In their face, and you see them
yeah.
doing everything.
No, I know. So I know. I'm at the grocery store.
It's crazy.
And I'm looking at everything, and I'm going, this is inside.
Yeah.
We're enclosed. Your risk goes up.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, take it outside. Well, the risk goes way substantially less.
Yeah, exactly.
So
it's going to be interesting to see the timeline. The timeline in which you know, the events start happening. But really, it's crazy because racing is not alone in this.
No.
I'm
just scared that it's going to get left back. Like,
yeah.
it'll be one of the last.
Well, like, when you think about, like, all of the businesses that are built on numbers of people, when you look at bars, right?
Right.
Like, every successful bar relies on hundreds of people.
Inside.
Right. You look at concerts, you look at sporting events, you look at, you know, everything. And we're not saying anything that you don't know, but it's definitely inspiring, you know, on the conversation side to see where everybody's, you know, feelings are at. Because
right.
really, the fear of the population is going to be what controls and dictates the entire thing.
Yes.
You know, so even if a racetrack is allowed to open right now, are thousands of people going to go there?
Right.
Right? And that's the thing that really, and whether whoever is right or wrong, the public is going to dictate what transpires.
Right.
So if we get to August, is 1,000 people or is 1,500 people or 2,000 people going to go to, Jucasa Speedway or Sauble Speedway and partake in it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, like, I think that using Dale Shaw's and your analogy, or idea, for big events, that are standalone.
Right.
I think that would be doable. And I think enough people would say, okay, I will, take that chance or take, that initiative to go to that event. But in each individual area, there's going to be a lot of people that hold back and say, well, we're not going to go to that.
Right.
So
that's why it's
good. I think
key that one is one spot.
Yeah, but can racetracks work together in that realm to do that?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Like I think if you divided the country up into sectors, and you said, okay, Peterborough Speedway and Sauble Speedway can open this weekend.
Right. They're far enough
and
apart.
And then the next weekend, Sunset and Delaware can open.
Right.
But Sauble and Peterborough close, right? Or whatever for the beginning portion. I think that would be more beneficial to everybody than having a track like Delaware or Sauble run every night to close out the year to get to October. You
right.
know what I mean? Like,
right.
I think that...
Well, the cost on, putting the key in the ignition and turning it over, when the owner of the track decides that he is going to open up,
mm-hmm.
trust me when I say the cost is huge
yep.
to get that first event.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're only going to put the key in the ignition and only run one event,
yep.
you're probably not worth your while to open it up because you're actually going to cost yourself way more money
yep.
to open for one event. You know, when you open up, you're opening up for a season or, for a number of races.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to do it on one would be a killer. You said the word Dale Shaw again. I've seen it on here. We got to congratulate Dale Shaw and his girlfriend. They're now going to be husband and wife. He proposed.
Oh, cool. Good for him.
Good for Dale.
Congrats, Dale.
Congratulations, Dale, to you and your family.
Absolutely.
Way to go, kiddo. We're going to hit a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to a winner. Driver of the number 51, Stephen Nassy, won at Showtime Speedway last night down in Florida. We watched it on Low Budget TV, and I'll tell you what, dynamite race. We're going to catch up with that winner next here on Race Time. Stay with us.
Hey, race fans, this is Oscar driver George Wilson, number 77. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
Coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM Channel 20.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We gotta eat that sauce.
But I got a good idea.
To the inside of Adam Shine.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL, sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
And just like that, we are back with you. Got to thank Ked. He brings us back off of our third break each and every night. Does a great job. I love that lead guitar.
Yep.
Yeah, he does a dynamite job. Back to what we were talking about, Showtime Speedway.
Yes.
Last night, they race Friday night and Saturday night in Pinellas Park, Florida, just outside Clearwater. Beautiful little racetrack. Beautiful track. I think it's a 3/8 track.
Yeah, they kept calling it a quarter last night. Yeah.
Was it? Quarter? The announcer, Jake Wilson. Announcer Jake is his tag on Twitter.
Yep.
Follow him along. The guy does an amazing job. He did. He was very knowledgeable. We'll get Jake on this show one night, and we'll introduce him and have a look in behind the screen and find out what he's thinking heading into what Robert told us is going to be a big night. 2 weeks from now, Showtime Speedway is going to be back on Low Budget TV, and they're going to do another race. I can guarantee you we are going to be front and center watching that.
Absolutely.
Good show last night. We're going to catch up with Stephen Nassy here shortly. As soon as Susie gets him up on the hotline, we'll get Stephen on here, and we'll talk to him about that race. A couple times, I want to say the 20 car of Anthony
Sergi
did set fast time.
Yep.
Then they had to draw, and he drew a garbage number of
nine. I think
it
was nine, yeah.
So he had to go back to ninth spot. They inverted the top nine. That second quick was the 51 of Nassy, and that put Nassy starting in eighth spot.
Yep, yep.
And away they go. So he was back there a bit, right? Yeah. And there's a lot of fast cars in the field there at Showtime Speedway in the Supers. I didn't know whether for sure these guys were going to make it to the front. They had 100 laps to get the job done.
Yep. 119.
Oh, sorry. 119 laps. You're right.
Yep.
But sure enough, Nasi did make his way to the front. What was it, about 25 to go when he actually took the lead?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there, but
roughly,
25 to go.
Roughly 25 to go.
Did a great
Nasi,
job.
Atwell, really, when you look at the front of the field, you know, the different leaders, the four of Wilson led for the first little bit. Then I want to say the... Was it the 51 that passed the four? It was the 51 of Atwell.
Atwell, yeah.
Atwell that passed the four.
Right. The 30
then
took the
30
lead.
Took the lead. Then the 51 of Atwell took the lead back. Then the 30 ended up falling back a little bit. Throughout that little stint, it was like a green flag run of probably like 35 laps. Nasi started charging, and he just started picking guys off.
Yeah,
and he got up to second, and then Atwell and him traded the lead back and forth a couple times, a few little bump and runs, and you know, little nudges here and there. They didn't use each other up; they just used the car,
right?
Then with like 25 to go. Nasi and Atwell, you know, ended up. Atwell ended up jumping the restart. Really interesting. They have a box that's about the size of two car lengths.
Yeah.
Restart box.
Yeah.
And it's not until you get onto the straightaway on an oval.
Right.
So, really, the straightaway on a quarter mile is really short. It's only about 150 feet long.
Yeah.
Right?
Not
much
at all.
200 feet long. So, roughly 40 feet, I would say, before the line, there's a box. And you got to get all four tires in the box, and then you can go. So you have to go within that stretch. Atwell jumped the restart just by a little wee bit.
Yeah.
Like just a tiny wee bit.
There wasn't much.
And you know, they crossed the line. Atwell, of course, beat him to the line, beat Nasi to the line, and then Nasi ended up taking it. And what a dynamite performance by Steven Nasi. The car was clean.
There was no show, man.
There was a couple rubber marks, but that was it.
Yeah.
That was good.
Showtime is Steven Nassi's home track. And look at this. We got him up on the hotline right now. Let's welcome in driver of the 51, Steven Nasi, winner of last night's race. What's going on there, Steven? How you doing?
Good. Sorry about that, guys. I was enjoying dinner. I didn't see my phone ring in there.
No problem, bud. No problem whatsoever. You did a dynamite job at your home track there last night, kiddo. Awesome job.
Thank you. Yeah, we, you know, it's always nice to be able to come home and race, you know, close to the house. You know, I have a lot of history at that track. You know, my grandfather had a team there himself. Had drivers like Jimmy Cope, Dave Scarborough, you know, Mike Cope even drove for him a little bit as well. My two uncles. So to be able to go back to that track and be so close to home, and you know, it kind of stunk because, you know, normally the good thing about being close to home like that is you have all the fans come out and watch you. But unfortunately, you know, just with the circumstances, that just wasn't able to happen this weekend. But at the same time, you know, like I said, just to get back in that pit area, actually the spot that we park in is the spot that my grandfather used to park in, and when they poured the concrete in there, you know, it's got his number written down in there. So it's just, it's a really cool deal to be able to get back there. And, you know, we always run very well. You know, I know it's considered my home track, but I've probably been there, I mean, around 10 times, you know, my whole life. I started racing go-karts there when I was younger, but a couple years after that, they shut down until, you know, a few years ago. So, you know, we're blessed to be able to run well there. It's a tight little bull ring. But, you know, I like driving the heck out of a race car. And, you know, that track definitely takes it.
Yeah, it does. Steven, you qualified second last night when the times were all flying through. You were looking good in qualifying. And then Anthony goes out and he draws a 9. Man, it puts you back to 8th to start. Were you nervous at all with that starting spot?
You know, not really, only because of my, recent, you know, races and everything that I've done well in. I've really had to come from the back of the field and make my way through. And actually the last race that I had won at Showtime previous to this, You know, I had got sent to the rear at about lap 30 when I got tangled up with another car, and I was able to get back to the field and win that race. So, you know, although it does stink to, you know, lose all those spots before the race even starts, at the same time, you have to keep a level head and just know, you know, anything over 100 laps or even 100 laps is a long race. And a lot of stuff happens, a lot of cautions, a lot of carnage. So as long as you can keep yourself safe, there really should be no worries on the driving end. You know, I knew me and my guys put together a good race car. We actually had two fast race cars. We were testing our Fury and our Rowdy car. You know, we got there Thursday practice, Friday practice, you know, and decided Friday night to go ahead and run the Rowdy. But when we took both cars out to practice on Friday, we were actually top of the board at both of them by a good bit. So, you know, it feels good to be able to have a team and you know, a couple cars that are that good to where I felt like either whatever car we chose, we were going to have a shot to win that race. The crazy thing actually is, though, is about lap 30, I had a crazy throttle tight. I mean, I was underneath people, and I just couldn't do nothing. I was like a sitting duck stuck on the bottom. And it was just really weird to, you know, the car wasn't acting like that all weekend. Really, my Fury car kind of had those tendencies, but the Rowdy never did. It was always turning. So when I got into qualifying and it acted like that, and in the race it kept doing it, I was thinking something, you know, like the sway bar or something had come undone. And we were debating pulling in. We were running P4, and I was telling him, I was like, I really don't think that I can move through this field. I was like, I think I'm going to end up being stuck here and fighting, you know, the guys behind me. And luckily, it just didn't work out with the time. Every time my guys would run to the trailer to go get a part or something, you know, for us to change or check it, they ended up throwing the one to go under the caution. So we just ended up going back green. So thankfully, we didn't end up coming back in, and we ended up going green those times, or else, you know, it might have been a lot harder. If not, we might not even, you know, have made it back to the front. So, you know, just things worked out for us, and that's what you need sometimes in racing, you know?
That was kind of my question, actually. I put my hand up here and said, I'm asking the next question, because, you know, in your interview post-race, you did mention that it felt like you had a sway bar disconnect or something like that. Did you find anything? Have you got the car unloaded? Did you take a look at it and just see if anything did come unhooked or anything like that?
Yeah, we did. We were able to go through. It wasn't the sway bar like I thought. And the first thing that took my mind to the sway bar was because before we initially went green in the race, before the first green flag dropped, I heard a loud clunk and like felt something hit underneath the race car. And, you know, in my head, I thought like it was a rock or something, you know, and then I went green and I had that throttle tight and I was just thinking, man, what could that be? What could that be? And, you know, I've had that problem before in the past with the sway bar coming undone. And, you know, the car was acting about like that. So in my head, that's what I instantly went to was the sway bar, sway bar, sway bar. Well, we come in and sway bar was good, so it wasn't the sway bar, but it was the right front shock. Right front shock, just, I mean, sometimes, you know, you get unlucky, and I mean, they'll just give out on you. And the right front shock was definitely not doing its job. About lap 30, going down the front straight, 30 or 40, I mean, the car was bouncing so bad, just going under pace laps. And that's, you know, when I really started complaining about it. I told him, you know, we need to make the decision, you know, now if we're going to come in or if we're going to stay out and tough it out. And like I said, I'm really glad that we ended up staying out and toughing it out. I have the best group of guys behind me at Jet Motorsports. I can't even describe the connection that we have right now as a team. It's almost unreal. I think this year is going to be so big for us. You know, I told multiple people, told my friends, you know, talked to my crew chief, Chris Cater, you know, Greg James, you know, Pat Jett, the team owner. You know, and I've been telling everybody I want to win 10 races this year, for sure. I want to win 10. And, you know, we're already at 3, and we've only run about 5 or 6. So, you know, we got a good shot, and I think this is going to be the best year yet for us.
We're with Steven Nasu tonight. He won the COVID 119 at Showtime Speedway last night. You could have caught it on low budget TV and dynamite job last night. Steven, we got down to, I don't know, whether it was like 25 to go, something like that. The caution came out, And Junior and I are sitting there watching you on that track, and I'm getting messages from Keith Hepburn, a buddy of mine. He's watching the show, and he's going, man, Nassie is putting a show on here. I said, just keep your eyes peeled. This is going to be good. And then on that restart, it kind of looked like you were falling back, and I went, uh-oh, he's got a problem with that car. I didn't detect the problem until near the end, where it looked like you started to fade back, and then mysteriously it just turned on, and away you went. But, man, the outside of that racetrack, is there a lane out there? I seen you out there. I seen the 30 car out there. Seemed to work every now and then, but it didn't look like there was an outside line developed. Is there one at that track?
You know, there is, and that's the fun thing about racing at that place. It really is. I mean, you can race side by side for so long. You know, Yoho does a good job at keeping the track, you know, because they have the drag strip right next to it. So they spray the outside of the track with the stuff at the drag strip to make it a little bit more, you know, runnable up there and to make it, you know, where you can run side by side. You know, I do feel like since we had this long break, I didn't have no cars on the track, didn't have no races. Obviously, he's not out there just spraying it for fun. So, you know, it had a little bit of an off time. I think the outside lane was lacking a little bit out here. But it definitely came in. One and two was really good. And then three and four, it's like you have just enough to where you can hold that guy off on the bottom and he can't get the drive off. You know, it was really unfortunate to see with Atwell. You know, I got underneath him there in that long run, and he chopped me hard. You know, just I was underneath him. He came right down on me.
Yeah. I said, Nassie ain't going to like that.
Yeah.
That's
he about wrecked us both. You know, thankfully the caution come out right then. I was able to, you know, kind of get cooled off a little bit, you know, flipping the bird a couple times, let him know that I wasn't happy with him, and, you know, we went on back to racing. Actually, after the race, Michael come up to me and, you know, said that, you know, he didn't mean to. He had got free right there. You know, he's trying to clear me, and I was trying to race hard to get back under him. You can do nothing but have respect for that. You know, I know we're there to race hard. If I was in his position and my car was falling off and the guy behind me was gaining fast, I would do everything in my power to hold him off, to chop him off, to try to, you know, wear his tires out a little bit more to give me that much more of a shot. So it's kind of tough to see because, you know, on that next restart, he had jumped it on me. And, you know, they ended up just sending him to the rear off one mess up there, which I really, honestly, I did not agree with myself. I would have liked to, I think even though I would have still come out on top, I would have liked to race with Michael a little bit more and put a little bit better show on for the fans. You know, he's a good driver. He's young. You know, it kind of reminds me of myself in a way, not just with the number, just being aggressive all the time. And, you know, I think he's got a long career ahead of him, and it kind of sucks that we didn't get to battle it out there at the end. You know, I know he ran me clean after he chopped me off that one time. He had plenty of opportunities to go up in there and door me. So, you know, all I can say is I have respect for them and the Mike Garvey guys and everybody on his team. And just, you know, thankfully it ended up worse than what it was, and you know, that's all you can do as a racer is just hope that somebody knows when they're wrong and come up and apologize, and you know, that usually makes things better.
Steven, we have had, I guess it was 3-4 weeks ago now, maybe even 5 weeks ago, we had Cole Butcher on the program, and you know, he is a superpower in the Northeast, in Nova Scotia and you know, New Brunswick, PEI out there. He's a superpower out there, but he's a young cat. You know, he's still a young guy. So we asked him, you know, when did you, you know, realize that you're no longer the young kid and you're now a veteran in the sport? And I would put you in that same category because you're a young guy, but you're a veteran. You're a crafty veteran in the sport. At what age did you realize that? Have you realized that? That you're not just the young guy, the young gun anymore. You're a crafty veteran that everybody is out there, you know, looking to beat. When did you realize that, or have you yet?
You know, obviously, I would say back when I was 18, you know, I tried telling myself that. But, you know, it's not something you can tell yourself. That's something you have to let people kind of speak on you for. You know, you're never going to be able to call yourself, you know, what you think you are, if that makes sense. You know, you can't just sit there and say you're the best and you're the only one saying it. You have to have other people, let other people speak for you. You know, I try not to think about that stuff. I think of myself as still a young, dumb kid at times, you know, even though I'm a lot older than some of these kids coming up. You know, I'm still 25. I got a lot of life left ahead of me. I have really, really honed in my long run racing skills. You know, I don't think much will change in the 125 lappers, you know, Southern Super Series races, small ones. I might still struggle with those. But when it comes down to a long run race, and saving your tires and being there at the end, I do a pretty good job at giving myself a shot there. And, I mean, like I said, that's just something I try not to think about, and I let other people decide what I really am, you know, because at the end of the day, I can sit here and say I'm the greatest, I'm this, I'm that. But if you don't have other people following along with you, you're really only talking to yourself, you know? So, it does. It kind of stinks getting old. I won't lie. I say that at 25 years old. But at the same time, I have a lot of experience that has come around with those long years, long, painful years that I had, you know, 16, 17, 18. I remember as a year I clipped front and rear clip, you know, different cars 5 or 6 times. It was a long season. And now I'm at the point where we are doing a lot more racing and a lot less wrecking. And when you do that, you're able to take your pieces home, work on them, and get better for the next week. I think the biggest thing that has been a game changer for me has been my team, the connection that I have with them. And you don't keep them forever. You know, you don't keep connections like this forever. So I'm riding the wave as long as I can, because I had this connection with, you know, my old crew chief, Buggy Fletcher, you know, a few years ago. You know, after we were together for 6 or 7 years, that connection kind of dies out. I'm hoping to run this bulb until it bursts, that's for sure. And, you know, hopefully just reap all the benefits off of it. You know, the Jet Motorsports team is a great team. And like I said, I mean, we are literally like best friends. Me and my crew chief, Chris, we talk every day, you know, if not every week for sure, once on the phone. I call and give them crap, you know, just about every single day. So, you know, they're a great group of guys, and they're the reason I'm so successful right now, especially, you know, on the radio, keeping me cool, things like that. So it feels good to be on this end of the spectrum, you know, not that young punk anymore. But at the same time, I try not to think about that, and, you know, not let my head get big or anything like that, because I know, you know, I got to perform. It don't matter how good I say I am or what. I have to go out there on the racetrack and be up front, and that's the end of it.
Well, I'll tell you, you are classy, Nasty. You were class of the field last night in that COVID-19. Dynamite to see. And all we can do is keep our fingers crossed and say our prayers. And hopefully we see you this September when it's time for that Maple Leaf 250 at Jukasa Motor Speedway, the Canadian Sprint Car or the Canadian Late Model Champions and Championship. Man, we're hoping that you make that show. We're hoping that it all comes together, because I'll tell you what, Stephen Nasty, you would be a dynamite addition, and I think old Bubba Pollard and the rest are really going to have their work cut out if that 51 rolls through the gate.
You know, we're hoping to get out there. It's been an unbelievable the amount of fans that have been asking me to come out there. I really want to be able to reach all these people. I want to be able to put a show on for them live, and, you know, it feels really good when you have, you know, tens, if not hundreds of people just reaching out, asking you to come to specific races, not even there, you know, just other tracks. So hopefully we can get out there a little bit more this year and make the fans happy, because, you know, without the fans, there wouldn't be us. So, you know, I just hope for a good year, that's all. You know, like I said, 10 races is my goal. I'm at 3 right now. So if you're at the track and I'm around, it's probably a good, or if you're around the track and I'm supposed to be there, it's probably a good idea to show up.
Wait, yeah. is it three or is it four?
That win.
It's four. I still give you the Snowball Derby win.
Yeah.
Even though, so it's four. Yeah. It's four. You got to.
That one should count as two, right?
Yeah.
It should count as two, but it doesn't.
No, but that's last year. You can't count that one as last year.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you're right. We're going off this year. You know, we got the pro race at the Watermelon. We got one super race at Speed Week, and then we got the super race this past weekend.
So,
like I said, this year we're going for 10, and I think we got a good shot at it.
When's the next race for you, Steven?
Next race is off Alabama, 2 weeks.
2 weeks, and that one is going to go green, right?
That one is supposed to go green. That's what they say as of right now. You know, I know they do a great job at Op. That's one of my favorite tracks to go to all year. And, you know, you better believe when I heard that, you know, the Rattler was postponed, I was very upset at the race. I've had an opportunity and a shot to win a couple of times now. And I think this year is the best year to get it done.
Well, man.
Then we go to Nashville right after that, I believe.
I'll tell you what, fans are in for a treat. I know, you know, even if they can't be at the racetrack, they can tune in whatever way. Steven Nassy, dynamite stuff. Congratulations on the COVID-19 win at Speedway, or at Showtime Speedway. It's been great catching up with you again, my friend. We look forward to the next time.
Yeah, guys, thank you so much for having me on. Like I said, I'm sorry for being late. I was trying to just get some dinner in.
Yeah, don't let it happen again.
I hope you guys have.
Don't let it happen again. No, I'm just kidding.
And, hey, maybe after the Rattler, if I come out in victory lane, we'll be talking again.
You want to believe it. You bet, Steven. You have a good one.
Thanks so much for the time.
That's Steven Nassy, driver of the 51, victory lane. We're going to hit a break. When we come back, we're going to talk NASCAR Xfinity Racing with the driver, the number 92 for DGM. We got Josh Williams coming up. Any way you want it, that's the
way you need it, any way you want it. This is Dave Jacobs, Director of Canadian Operations for GC Motorsports. Racetime Radio, we'll be right back. She loves to sing, she does
everything. The NFL is on SiriusXM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the SiriusXM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and SiriusXM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24-7 on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Racetime Radio is back. Once again, Joe Chisholm.
There we go. We are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in. And how about this? Finally, we're going to see the NASCAR Xfinity Series, the NASCAR Cup Series, and the trucks all heading back to the racetrack. May the 17th is where you're going to see the Cup Series. And shortly thereafter, on May the 19th, a Tuesday night of all, we're going to see the number 92, Josh Williams, climb back aboard that DGM Chevrolet, and he's going to head for the track and go after that win. He's with us right now on the hotline. What's going on tonight there, Mr. Josh Williams? How you doing?
Oh, pretty good, brother. Man, glad to be back on the show and really looking forward to strapping that 92 for DGM at Darlington and see if we can rip the fence and have us a good another solid finish.
I wouldn't doubt it. I know we're all excited to get you guys back back to work, if you will. What's Darlington like for you as a driver? How many times you've been around that racetrack, and what's your record look like at that speedway?
Last year was the first time that I've ever been to Darlington, and we were running inside the top 15, and actually had an axle seal go bad, and kind of hindered our day a little bit. I don't know where we ended up finishing, but man, that place is fun. Really, really rough, abrasive, wore out. Really cool place. You know, you're running right up against the fence once your tires get old, and just trying to get all you get, try to find some grip. But I love tracks like that, man. It's one of those get up on the wheel racetracks, and that's my favorite kind.
And that's the Mario kind of racetrack, right? It's kind of handy to have Goslin there prepping stuff, and with this break in the action, so to speak, a long break, it gives you guys extra time to prepare. I know all the teams have had the extra time to prepare. But do you think it's going to make a huge difference, Josh, in what you guys are going to have for a car when you hit the track?
Yeah, definitely. Mario's been working his tail off down there trying to better our stuff and trying to get ahead, really, you know, trying to get prepared for races, you know, just beyond the first couple that we have. Being a small team and the schedule that we're going to be up against, you know, running a lot of races here and maybe sometimes having to double up on some races, just trying to get cars ready and things like that is what he's been focusing on. And I think we're going to have a really good piece when we unload at Darlington. And I think we're going to get chocolate. So really looking forward to get back at it and get back to the racetrack. I know it's going to be a little different atmosphere, not having any fans in the stands. But, you know, I'm sure everybody will be tuned in and watching on TV. And I bet you we're going to put on a good show.
I can't wait. Honestly, Xfinity Racing is something that I've been just climbing the walls to watch. You guys are always exciting. I guess there's not going to be a chance that we're going to see Alex behind the wheel. There's no way, because the border's closed. Did you guys harbor him down there and keep him down there in case the border was shut down? There's probably no chance we're going to see Labbe in a car.
I think there's a good chance of it. We've been working on that for sure, and I think he might be in the States for a little while.
There we go. Yeah, and that's handy to see and handy to hear. You guys work excellent as teammates. You feed off each other. You go out there and compete against each other. But at the end of the day, it's kind of cool to watch the remarks on Josh Williams on Twitter and watch Alex Labbe's stuff. You guys get along real good off the track, and you compete real hard when you're on the track.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it's always about which DGM car is in front of the other, for sure. But Alex is a cool teammate, man. We work with each other at the track and kind of bounce things off of each other. And it's good when you've got somebody like him that you can work with and that understands, you know, everything that you're talking about. And I think it makes us both better for sure. And definitely, we both drive pretty hard, especially when we're close to each other. We don't give each other any room, that's for sure.
So you guys head out onto the racetrack. It's going to be Tuesday, May 19th. Big emphasis, Josh, on qualifying. Do you think you're going to put a lot of emphasis on that to try and get the track position right off the beginning of the race? Or do you tackle it more of a, you know, the distance that you guys are going to be doing and sort of lay it down that way? What's the strategy heading into that?
Well, our strategy is we're actually not going to qualify. We're going to roll through the gate, go through tech inspection, and we're going to line up and go on the racetrack and take the green flag and go all the way to the checkered. There's no practice, no qualifying. We're just going to line up and race them.
No kidding. Yeah. You know what? I missed that part of it. Look at that. I haven't done my homework at all.
Oh, yeah.
You got blindsided there.
It's going to be interesting. You know, some of the bigger teams might be at a little bit of an advantage, you know, with sim time and certain things like that. But, you know, we got all day to work on it, so. I think we'll be fine, and I think you'll still see kind of the same race play out as it usually does. But yeah, it's going to be fun, man. I'm really excited about that. I think that's cool, just kind of old school, like you're showing up at a short track on a Saturday and you got off of work late or something like that, and you're showing up in your open trailer and your pickup truck and roll out the tail end of the field and take the green. So I think it's going to be fun.
How huge is the notebook now, right? You got to, that notebook has got to be totally valuable.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, me and Mario were talking about it on the phone just a couple days ago. And he's like, man, what do you think? I'm like, I don't know, to be honest. I said, I think we just, you know, stick with what we had there and last year. And, you know, maybe we'll be a little bit more conservative on our front splitter just at the first part of the race to try to see if, you know, you're better to be off it than on it too hard. So we're going to try to figure it out, and kind of a guessing game there. But you never know how it's going to go. But man, I'm just really excited to get back at it, and all of our partners at DGM, man, we've been chomping at the bit waiting on this day to come.
Josh, obviously tracks you know, change year to year. When you go to, you know, a racetrack 1 year and then you go back the next, it doesn't seem to matter where it is located geography wise, but it seems like it changes every single time you go back to it. How important will it be to watch the or to have information from the Cup Series race on what, you know, is different about the track, if it lost grip or if it gained grip or anything like that? Do you guys have resources on the Cup side, because they obviously race before you guys?
We have a couple friends that we bounce some stuff off of, but you know, I'm definitely going to watch the Cup race and listen to what the drivers are saying, and, you know, try to, because I mean, it our cars are similar, you know, but theirs do handle a little bit different than ours.
Absolutely.
But I'll definitely be listening to what the drivers say as far as the track, you know, and how things have changed maybe from last year, and we're actually, I think we're going to be racing under the lights, so that's going to be different from last year as well. So we'll see how it goes, and I mean, just stay out of trouble, you know, try to keep these good finishes here. I mean, it's going to be really huge, racing real close, so try to keep the cars clean and things like that, stay out of trouble, try to save as much work as possible.
Now, will you, obviously, you guys have multiple cars, will it be the same car that you guys run at Darlington and at Charlotte if nothing happens, or what does the inventory look like for that?
We're actually still up in the air about that a little bit. We're working on some things sponsorship wise, and some of that's going to play into role of, you know, which car we use, and also, you know, we've thought about, you know, what's more beneficial is, you know, we're taking a better car to Darlington, where we know that, you know, maybe a little bit of driver is going to make up for equipment in that area, or do we take a chance on, you know, knocking the right side off of it for 50 laps, you know, at the end of a run? So it's kind of a toss up, but we're definitely going to try to bring one of our better cars and see how that goes. But if we do get in a situation, we have an older car that we might bring that we've had good success with in the past at some of the short tracks. So kind of a guessing game right now to see how it's going to play out and try to do what we think is best as far as, you know, what's going to be better for the team.
And cool this year too, Josh, when you look at the actual runs that you've had so far in 2020, because you guys did get some races in, you had some good numbers, like improved over 2019. It's got to feel good, and now you got this little break, you're going to be able to go hard at it. It's going to be very interesting.
Oh yeah, definitely. As long as you close your eyes when you look at the Daytona results, we've had some amazing finishes, and we were headed towards a good finish there too. So hopefully we can keep that momentum up, and, you know, as long as we could keep those good things coming in, I think we're going to have a really good solid 2020.
Were those Daytona cars fixable? Like, are they going to be back out there, or were they a complete loss?
Every single one of them is going to be fixed and ready to go.
Wow. Wow, that's that's impressive, because you guys took some hard hits. It was definitely a messy situation down there.
We were at the back of the hauler after the race, and I look at Mario, and he looks at me, he goes, every corner on every car. I said, man, you can't make this up.
I didn't mean to, boss.
Yeah, exactly.
Just take
that out of my pay, right?
Yeah. Just take that one out. Yeah, absolutely.
You want me to drive harder?
Here's an IOU.
Yeah.
Man, looking at obviously the iRacing world, you know, there was a lot of talk. There was a lot of emphasis put on iRacing through this whole COVID deal. Did you partake in much at all during the off season or the off season?
Through the break. Feels like a different year.
Yeah, it's a different year that we're heading into. But did you get to play around a little bit on there?
Yeah, I did. I did a couple of the NASCAR races. Not a really big sim guy. I tell you what, man, I enjoy getting on there and racing with, you know, like the local short track guys and you know, people who aren't even racers, but they sim race a lot. Man, them guys are so good, and that's fun. You know, you get in there and you get to have fun with some people who you don't normally race against, and that's kind of what I did. You know, the NASCAR guys, you know, they get a little uptight about it from time to time. So, I like having fun, man. It's good to get out there and race with some of these other people who don't get to, you know, they're like, man, that's cool. You know, we're racing with the Xfinity guys. So that was fun, and I enjoy a lot. But it's the NASCAR side of the iRacing deal, them boys are pretty serious. I'll come home from the shop and log in on the computer, and some of these guys are, like, practicing on lap 3,000. I'm like, wow, I've made 25 laps. It's impressive.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you're going to get back to the real deal, and that's kind of cool. Got to ask you, did you catch any fish this weekend?
Man, I got one ladyfish and one snook so far, but maybe we'll go back at it here tomorrow. It was pretty windy. The tide was real high, but it was really windy, so... The bite was tough.
Ah, that's all right. You had fun anyway. It was Mother's Day weekend, and you had a blast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just got done eating dinner with Mom and Dad just a little bit ago. So it was good. It was a surprise for her to come down and see him. So I don't get home often.
Well, you're gonna have some more fun come, you know, this May 19th. It's going to be huge Tuesday night. Josh Williams, can't wait to see you back behind the wheel of the 92. And it's going to be a special night, man.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Aiming for a top 10. So we'll try to keep these good finishes coming. And everybody make sure you tune in and watch the race from home. It's going to be a blast.
Absolutely. Well said, and we look forward to it, Josh, and we'll get you back on this show. We'll get some results flying. I can't wait.
Sounds good, man. You guys know my number. Anytime, give me a shout.
You betcha. That's Josh Williams, driver of the 92 for DGM. I got a sneaky suspicion, Junior, that he is going to turn some numbers at Darlington.
Yeah, everybody else was away from the shop, but you can guarantee Josh and Mario and all those guys were in the shop.
Yep.
That's where they were. And you can guarantee that those race cars are going to be, you know, they've been picking it up.
They have.
You know, you look at the results through the past couple years. And, man, they've got a good shot at laying down some numbers here. And I really think that the ratings of these races are going to be astronomical.
Yeah, I think
I am
you're right.
Really, really, really excited to see what those ratings do. I think that there's going to be, you know, distance makes the heart grow fonder.
Yep.
So when you, you know, take a few months off, people are definitely going to be clawing to watch these. And I think FS1 and Fox and all the marketing partners of NASCAR are going to do some really cool things with it.
Wow, so much to look forward to now. Look at this. Can't wait. Things are going to start breaking open. We're going to have more results. We got lots to look forward to. And everybody's just got to be safe and get ready. This is going to pass. And when it does, man, are we going to be in for some good times. But, Junior, that does it for you and I here tonight on Racetime Radio. Got to thank you all for tuning in. Got to thank Susie Q right here in the Racetime Radio studio and Scotty back in the Toronto studio. Wish everybody the best. Stay safe. And I know we look forward to getting back together again next Sunday night right here on Racetime Radio. Have a good one, everybody, and it won't be long. We got tires going to turn.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.